Amen. Thank you for the word. Wow. Just to speak those words. And now we are commanded to be still in the Lord. I don't want to make noise. You can tell I'm preaching very softly. It's not because it's cold. I don't want to shout. Amen. But it is not for men to will, but it's for the Lord to will. Let's have our first scripture in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 14. Can I, do you mind if I read it in English? Okay. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I'm going to have to use the handheld mic, please. First John, First John chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Father, bless the reading of Your word. Let every word that I speak, Lord, be covered with the blood of Jesus for grace and the fire of the Holy Spirit for protection. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, Dr. Harry, when he preaches, he likes to start by telling a story. Can I tell you a story? Because somebody said, hello, Dr. Harry. There was a man. He did not believe in God. And this man was going to a very important meeting. And when he got to the parking lot, like many of us, we always want to park next to the door of where we are going. Especially if it might rain or it's raining. So that man was going to a meeting and then there was no parking. Then he said, Lord, if you give me a parking today, I promise I will serve you with the rest of my life. Because that meeting is important. Just as he was finishing to speak, somebody pulled out of the parking and made space. And then when he was about to enter, he said, no, God, it's fine. Just forget about it. I found the parking. Let me tell you another one. So there was this man also who said, I want to quit eating something because I'm addicted. And that was, what do you call it? I need a specific word for things made in bakery. Pastries. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. So this man said, I want to quit to eat pastries. So every day now when I'm going to work, I'm going to change the street. If I was passing by the bakery, I'm going to use another street. So he kept on doing that, using a different street to go to work, until one day that street was closed because of construction and he had to come back to the bakery street. So as he was passing, he could smell the bakeries, the pastries are smelling very nice. And he wanted to just see his teeth just go into that donut. And he said, Lord, if this is your doing, that I must come through this street, you will open a parking, and I will see this is you, then I will park there and buy my pastry. There was no parking. And he kept on saying, Lord, if this is you, open the parking, then I'll go into the, and then I'll buy the pastry. That man went around that store 8 times until there was a parking open so that he can have his pastry. It was not the Lord. But this scripture is telling us that we know we have the confidence. We know that what we want to do on this earth, it is through the confidence that we have in the name of Jesus. We just partook of the communion now, and we have this confidence. I like the fact that Matthew 7:7 puts it and says, ask of anything in my name, and it shall be given to you. Ask, I say. Do not stop asking. It says, knock, the door shall be opened unto you. It says, seek. Seek me with all diligence. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if they seek me with all of their heart, then I will answer. Ask. Can you only ask if you do not know that you are going to receive? The Lord has given us a confidence. He said, ask. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, not in us, not in our ability. There is something about knowing that when you know, and you know, and you know for sure that this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in your sight, you know how to ask in confidence. You move in the way of knowledge and understanding. You do not move by shadow boxing or by guesswork. The Bible tells us that in the same epistle of John, he says that we knew from the beginning that God is love. You see, there's something about when you know who you are, that even when you enter the room, people have to succumb to know who you are. You do not have to ask people, do you know who I am? I was attending an event, I don't know, in other areas where people are being honored. I was attending an event, and in that event, you love to be a pastor. You will just love being a pastor. You know why? Because they will say the pastors must eat first before other people can eat. So in that event, I did not have to sit in the front. All I had to do was know and have a knowing. That no, in this kind of events, I am sure I'm going to eat first. It's a knowing. I don't know if you guys are following me. You have a knowing that this will happen no matter what. So what is God saying to us through this faith word? He's saying that which you know, that which I have said to you, I will make it to come to pass. Because I am not a man that I should lie. God has told you something that you know, and you carry it without a shadow of doubt. I am not talking about when you receive a prophecy that contradicts what the Word of God is saying. There is no person, all of us, we know that God is our protector. He can protect us, right? Am I alone? God is our protector. He can protect us. But after you welcome Jesus as your Lord and Savior and accept Him in your life, you cannot stand in front of a train and say, God will protect me. You know not to do that. We have so many things that we put our confidence on. Right now, everybody who came into this church, when you sat down, you never tested the chair if it can hold your weight. You just sat down. And without sounding like body shaming, we have different types of weights I weigh 75, but I look very skinny. Not millimeter, but kg. So when I sit down, somebody who is weighing more than me, 100 and something, they will sit on the very same chair that I sat on. Why? Because I applied what we call a common faith. My common faith told me, I know if I sit on this chair, it will hold me. Do you know what happens when the chair breaks? I get surprised. How come? Who come? Do you not get surprised? You get surprised. So it's the same way when you're praying for someone, when you say, I know the name of Jesus is going to deliver this person, and nothing happens, and you are surprised. So how can this be? Lord, what did I do? Or what did this person do? Is it a curse from the family? What's going on? Because I know when I say it, nothing will stand. Why? Because I even walk with confidence of knowing who I am. It's not pride. It's knowing whose you are. In Him you are made. Through Him. So the question that I want to, or that the Lord has put to us, is that, what is that word that I gave you that you know, but you are not doing it? No, don't look aside. Don't look at your neighbor. I'm talking to you. The Lord is talking to us. It is a reminder that we sit and be still in the Lord through faith. What is that word? Today, I want to put back faith on top of that word. We all know that faith, God is faith. And we all know that faith is a present tense word. Faith is always is and never was. English teachers, please help me. Faith is not Jan word dear the hold her cup. Faith is not past tense, it's present tense. We have different kind of faith. I won't have time to get through all of them, but I can just give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have about 15 types of faith that one a Christian can apply. The common faith I've already given you for the chair. You have the unwavering faith, which is actually what's supposed to be my last one on this presentation. You must have an unwavering faith. Why? We have the confidence. That which the Lord, Timothy says, has begun in me, He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to completion. He will not leave us halfway. So maybe you are about to give up. You are thinking, this thing is not working. I thought coming to Christianity, if I go to church, I'll be married. And, you know, they said people who are there, they just marry. And then I'm coming to church and maybe I'm seeking something, you know. Maybe if I'm at church, somebody will see me and say, no, you are a pastor, then you can become a pastor or you can handle, you know. It's like when most of my friends, they hear that I'm a pastor, they say, no, let's open a church, but I'll take care of the money. Before I can even say yes or no, they already want to be treasurers. I don't know what is this thing about Judas Iscariot. What is this thing about Judas Iscariot? Everyone, when they think of church, they say, no, let me, I'm going to start there. No, start by serving. Serve. Be a good steward. Steward the word God has given to you. Put faith on it. Unwavering faith. When Jesus was confronted with Satan, I want us to appreciate that picture. I've spoken about it a few times, and I know by now Because you are matured Christians, you get good teachings, you know about it. Jesus got baptized, and the Lord, the voice of the Lord came, Holy Spirit came in a similitude of a dove over Jesus, and after he had sat on Jesus, then the Lord spoke. He said, "This is my beloved Son, to whom I am well pleased. Hear he him." And from that point, the Holy Spirit took Jesus into the wilderness, straight into the face of Satan. And for 40 days and 40 nights, without eating or drinking, Jesus had fasted. Did more than what any human being could do. Because he was God, full God and full human being. But there came a time when he was about to be descending from the mountain that Satan came and started to speak certain things to him to validate if he knows that he is the Son of God. And he said, "Are you sure you are the Son of God?" You see, Satan, when he comes, he starts to test what the Lord has said to you. And most times he starts to test your identity. When I had just started to be a pastor, then I was in this church and there was a manifestation of a demon or a wicked spirit, unclean spirit, and that demon, when it manifested, it said, "You are not a pastor. I'm not going to be Superman." I was scared. This is my first time coming face to face with a demon. I did not know how to respond. What I knew fell away. The process that the Lord took me through until I was ordained to be a pastor, it fell away. Because in the multitude of people, someone said, "You are not who you say you are." Many years later, let God help us. Many years later, then I had to learn that there is a character that a demon would have. Is it not Jesus who said in John 8:44 that you are of the devil, your father? You are a liar. I understood, but it was too late. I had already succumbed to what the demon had said to me. You are not a pastor. Do you know what that demon added more? The demon said, "You are a witch." I was new in the church. Who was going to believe my report? Gracefully enough, another pastor came to my rescue who had been trained and knew how to minister to deliverance. And then he casted out the demon. And then he made sure that the congregation know that the demon lied. But what do you think happened to me and my confidence? I knew, but my confidence, as the scripture says, was not there. Every time they would say, "Pastor, pray for this one," I will shy away and try to find somebody to pray for that one. So knowing was not enough. It needed confidence, boldness, courage, being strong, standing on what God has said by faith. Yes, we know the scripture, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. And. But this one that I'm talking about is not the same. This faith is the one that removes the shield of faith that Satan is able to attack you. When Peter was prophesying to Jesus, when he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered, "The God of this, Alexander the Great, Herod the Tetrarch." They answered many other answers without the truth. And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Man has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit of my Father." My Father is the one who revealed this to you.
And then now I'm changing your name, that from today your name will be called The Rock, Simon Peter. On this rock, my church I am building on, and no hell or the devil shall prevail. And when Jesus said, no, now I have to go and face what the Lord has said to me, to live it out in faith, that whoever has, as I said, who has begun a good thing, he'll bring it into completion. And Peter said, no, you are not going there. Jesus said, get thee behind me. Where I'm going with this is that there's an interesting piece that Jesus says after he said that to Peter. He says to Peter, Peter, I have prayed for you. Why? Because Satan is looking for you to sift you like wheat. But most importantly, I have prayed for your faith. How many times do we go before the Father with a list of things that we are hoping for, things hoped for? But on that list, there is no mention of the name faith. Please give us Mark 11, verse 24, as I'm closing. I want to say to you, believers, every person, I spoke of what God has told you. That is not contrary. It must not contradict the word of God. You cannot say, God told me to go and kill someone and then I'll be protected. That is contradicting the word of God. Any prophecy that comes like that, you are in a cult. You are not in a church. The person ministering to you is leading you away. God does not contradict himself. 11:24 says, for this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident. Here's that word again. That it is granted to you and you will get it. Okay. Yeah, only that one. So it is by faith. You trust and believe. What God said he will do, he will do. And if he doesn't, who cares? You are standing on that faith. But if you pray to God and say, this is what I would like to achieve with my life, my children, my parents, and you move from that word and try to do it by yourself, you have violated faith. I want to lend it and bring it home. As I said, everyone can hear God. You don't need a special gift. Okay, I hear somebody says, how? When Jesus came out of the water, when God said, this is my beloved son, was Christians the only one who heard that word? No? Somebody? Anybody? Was only Christians who heard God say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased? Or did everybody hear that word? Everybody heard that word. Okay. When God was in the Garden of Eden, when he spoke to Adam and Eve, before Eve was deceived by the serpent, and Adam was there with Eve, because the Bible says he was there with Eve. So, ladies and women and Mrs. and Miss, I'm exonerating you. Yes, the devil deceived the woman Eve, but Adam was right next to Eve. So Adam did it out of love to die. That's why Ephesians 5:25-27 speaks about a man should love their wives as Christ loved the church and die. It's not a marital seminar, but Adam was there. When he spoke, God spoke, after they fell off or out of the glory of God, was it not God who said, Adam, where are you? That verse, ne? How did Adam hear him? Because he was already even out of the glory. He was already cast out. He was in sin, living in sin. So how did he hear God? I'm trying to give you a simple formula to not be afraid. I'm trying to build up your confidence. Some build it up through praying in tongues. I'm trying to build you up to say, I have faith, God will speak to me. And that word that he said to me, I will stand on it no matter what happens. Everyone could hear. God spoke. God has been speaking. When God spoke to Abraham, he was not born again. The angel of the Lord came and spoke to Abraham, and Sarah heard the angel. The angel came so and so on to Zechariah and speak to him. Yes, exception, he was in the church. But the angel came to Mary and spoke to Mary, which was the angel of the Lord. He said, I sit in the presence of the Lord. She could hear him. Elizabeth heard the voice of the Lord. Because when Mary entered, he said, what is it, what manner of this that I have the pleasure to house the mother of my Lord? How did she know? She heard the voice. John in Revelation says, I was standing and I heard a voice behind me. Revelation 4, it says, the voice said, come up hither. So you can hear God. We can hear God. One says, bam. We don't know after we hear him, what are we supposed to do? Do it in faith. Let me finish. Jesus, then we go back, he was tempted and Satan said, because now you know who you are and you have the confidence in knowing who you are, throw yourself down because it is written. And Jesus, when he responded, he didn't say, I am the Son of God. You cannot speak to me like that. He used the same, very same weapon. He said, it is written. Do you understand why I'm giving you these two contrast of stories? When he said it was written, he defeated Satan with the very same thing Satan was supposed to trick him with. Words. So you need to have words of faith. What do you speak over your life is what will manifest. Jesus refused and said, it is written. I cannot do that. The Lord will not allow me to go in front of a train and think it will not hit me. I work in the parameter of the word of God. So faith makes you work in the parameter of the word of God. The Bible says the word could not be performed. There was no power found in the word because it was not mixed with faith. We believe, therefore we receive. So the story goes on. Satan departed. The Bible says for an opportune time, then he will come back again. It was words that were used to deceive Eve in the garden where Adam was. Adam is not a name, Adam is a man. When God created Adam, everyone is Adam. Adam is not a name, he's a man. That's the reason why God calls him the first Adam and he calls Jesus the last Adam. Because when the last Adam came, he came to restore what the first Adam lost for mankind. So Adam is man, he's not a name. If I may stretch it, Adam is a position, it's not a name. Jesus Christ is a man who was on earth, but Christ Jesus is a position in the realm of the Spirit, called the Messiah, the Anointed One. Okay, let me leave that one. I'm trying to say to you, giving you the confidence that when you go and speak to a problem, you must have the confidence knowing that I speak to this problem through the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Because warfare is not prayer, but warfare is added to prayer. So what Satan does, or what he's trying to do each and every day when he proposes us, is for us to take that shield of faith and put it down. In the ancient time, the shield was, it was made of wood, and then you put the cow's hide on top of the shield. You paint. That's why the word in Ephesians 6 says, put up this shield of faith so that you can extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. So what are the darts? It's when words are spoken. It's when you are being discouraged. It's when all of these things are coming, and the shield of faith is supposed to protect your faith. Job never moved from his faith, and he was rewarded at the end. So what are my final words? Do not move from your faith. Go back to what God said to you that you must do. I wrote something yesterday on my status. I said, it was not a conference call when God called you. Let me repeat that. No one is supposed to understand what is the calling and the giftings on your life. When God called you, he did not make a conference call. It was not five people on Zoom. And then he said, this is what I want to do to this person. He spoke to you and me alone. So have that confidence in that word that he released. Stand on it. If Satan is coming to say and ask you, did God really say that? You need to know and have the confidence. I'm going to stop here because I want to minister a little bit in prayer for those who are seeking prayer. This prayer is specific. Now that we know what the Lord can do for us, now that our faith, there's a song that says, may faith arise. Now that the faith is risen in us, we are not thinking that we are like grasshoppers, but we are thinking like we are giants. We are strong and courageous. We believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now that faith speaks, I want to call on this prayer request. If there's anyone, someone at home, not excluding ourselves, if there's anyone at home, I don't mean your family only. I mean also you might be working with someone and you see they are suffering. You can see this person is in bondage and they can't seem to get out. You can hear them. They have a roller coaster. It's cyclical. Either every week or every month or 6 months, the same problem comes. Especially I can see in here we don't have youth. So those who work, you find that when you get a little bit of more money or on payday, the problems were waiting for you. And then they start to come.
And you say, sure, thank God I had that money. That money was stolen. You were supposed to save it because you got more. Or that money was stolen because it is your salary. It's supposed to last you for 2 to 3 months. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. There is favor in receiving from God. Something as little can multiply to feed 5,000. I have that confidence. So I didn't make a mistake when I say the salary can last you 3 months. So I need those people that you are saying, I want to pray for my neighbor. I've been trying to pray. By the way, neighbor is anyone who's not you. I've been trying to pray for my neighbor. And isn't it the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself? So neighbor is anyone who's not you. So you are saying to yourself, I have a burden in my heart. I have been trying to pray for my neighbor to see the light because I see so much darkness. Or maybe it's yourself. Doesn't matter. No one will know. So you're saying, I'm trying to pray for my neighbor. And so my neighbor can see light, can be free from whatever bondage. Quickly, in 1 minute, if you have such a person in your life, you don't have to come here. You can just raise your hand and then I'll say the prayer. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. This is the prayer that I'll pray over those that you feel they're in bondage and they're not coming to the open and realization of the light of God. Heavenly Father, I stand here by the word and the confidence that I have in you. That according to Luke 4:18, when you said, I have appointed and I have anointed you to set the captives free, to bring liberty to those who are in bondage, to proclaim the word of God and the works of the Lord to the ends of the world. I come standing on that word and the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you said we pray to you, but we command the demons. So today I speak to them to say, you demons that are troubling whosoever the people have raised their hands for this prayer to come, we take authority over you in the mighty name of Jesus. You are seeking to destroy homes. You are seeking to destroy lives. You are seeking to destroy bodies. But we will not permit you to do so in agreement. We know our position, and our position is in Christ. We stand on the name of his authority. We know our position and our rights. Therefore, the Lord has said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. By the very same word, we bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Take your hands off of their lives this day, this moment. Release them so that they may know and be free to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. For this truth, let it go and be carried into their hearts. Let the light of God, the illumination of God, come upon their eyes. Open their spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. Bring conviction into their lives, that they may know that Christ is Lord to the glory of God. We thank you, Father, and we honor your name, for you are greatly to be praised. Father, fill their lives, because now Satan and his demons has left. Fill their lives with joy, with peace. Fill their lives with surrendering to you. Fill their lives with blessing upon blessings. I declare and I decree that they are free, for the word has said, the truth shall set you free. Let someone go and minister to them so that this can come to completion. Let them make this decision according to their own will. Let them choose you today, Lord.
as we choose you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.